Teta, Sata Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace of Ayachananana Bhaktivedanta, Goswami Maharshila Prabhupada Jaya, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Jaya, Pentakoti Vaishnava Vrindavaja, Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Jaya, Prem Se Baho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Rabu Nichananda Shidwaya Gadaha Shivasini Gaur Bhaktivin Nigya. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Govindakunda Shaila Kundradakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Ki Jai Mathuram Ki Jai Navadipdam Ki Jai Jagvatasani Ki Jai Vrindamai Ki Jai Shimani Galasi Devi Ki Jai Samaved Bhakta Vrindavan Ki Jai Gaur Vrindananda. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 22, text 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo
bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Tat.
Jasman.
Do.
Sahasrat.
Sahasra, Pat,
Vidayam,
Tasya,
Hi,
Rama,
Kshatrang,
Ongam,
Vajakshate,
Tatranaya,
Srijajasman,
Sahasrat
Sahasrapat
Vidayam
Tasya Hi Brahma
Kshatramangam
Pratakshate
Tatranaya Srijachasman
O Sahasrat Sahasrapat
Vidayam Tasya Hi Brahma
Kshatramangam
Pratakshate
Tatranaya
Srijachasmaham
O Sahasrat Sahasrapat
Vidayam
Tasya Hi Brahma
Kshatramangam
Pratakshate Ladies.
Tatranaya Srijachasma.
Tatranaya,
Tatranaya,
for the protection of the Brahmanas.
Ashrajat,
created. Cha,
and.
Asman,
Ashatriyas.
Dosahasrat, from his thousand arms.
Sahasrapat,
the thousand-legged supreme being.
Thousand-legged supreme being.
The universal form.
Universal form.
Ridayam.
Ridayam.
Heart.
Heart.
Tasya.
Tasya.
His.
He.
Four.
Brahma.
Brahmanas. Kshatram. The Kshatriyas.
Angam.
Arms. Prajakshate are spoken of. Translation. For the protection of the Brahmanas, the thousand-legged supreme being created us, the Kshatriyas, from his 1,000 arms. Hence the Brahmanas are said to be his heart and the Kshatriyas his arms. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Kshatriyas are specifically bent to protect or to maintain the Brahmanas, because if the Brahmanas are protected, then the head of civilization is protected. Brahmanas are supposed to be the head of the social body. If the head is clear and has not gone mad, then everything is in proper position. The Lord is described thus, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Paya Cha. The purport of this prayer is that the Lord specifically protects the Brahmanas and the cows, and then he protects all other members of society. Jagat Dithaya. It is his will that universal welfare work depends on the protection of cows and Brahmanas. Thus, Brahminical culture and cow protection are the basic principles for human civilization. Kshatriyas are especially meant to protect the Brahmanas, as is the supreme will of the Lord. Go Brahmana, Taya Cha. As within the body, the heart is a very important part. So the Brahmanas are also the important element in human society. The Kshatriyas are more like the whole body. Even though the whole body is bigger than the heart is more important. So, Tatranaya Sujatas Man, Dosahasrat Sahasrapat, Vidayam Toshehi Brahma, Chatram Hongam Vachakshate. So, Om Agana Sivanandasha. Gananjana Shivakaya Chakshur Urmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, of course, what's being described here is the Varna Ashram system. And the Brahmanas are actually considered to be the gurus of all the other castes. And, of course, in the ashrams, talking about Brahmachari, and then Grahastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. The Sannyasis are considered to be actually the gurus of the Brahmanas, even. So the Sannyasis are in the most exalted position. Of course, Kali Yuga is a little bit different. In Kali Yuga, there's many injunctions in the Vedic literatures or descriptions that in Kali Yuga many demons will take birth in Brahmin families. And of course, even in the Treta Yuga, we had a Rakshasa born in a Brahmin family. Does anyone remember who that is? No one knows. Ravana! Rama, Kumbhakarna, a nice prince of Vanaka, Kar, Dushan, you know. So, of course, Vibhishan, he was pretty good. Very good. Not pretty good. He was very good. So, the Vedic literature say that. Of course, it's not that everybody who's born in a Brahmin family is a demon. Don't take that in the wrong way. Not that everybody has the name Trivedi or Sharma is a demon. There's some very good prophets. But I remember we were doing one, it was a funeral here in Fiji. Yeah, a funeral here in Fiji. And the person doing the funeral, he was a member of the, you have a Brahminical or a Brahmin organization here, right? That if you want to be able to do things, you have to be a card-carrying member of the Brahmin organization. Doesn't mean you have to be a real Brahmin. You know, Brahmin, some of them are Tapaksha, Cham, Shanti, Rajma, Mevacha, Ganavi, Ganamosti, Kyan, Brahma, Brahma, Subhavajam. That's a real Brahmin. And a real Brahmin also makes his living. Well, actually, let me translate that verse, because most of you don't know Sanskrit. A real Brahmin is equal poised, self-control, controls his senses, he's clean, he's tolerant, he's religious, he reads regularly the Vedic literatures, and he understands the purpose of the Vedic literatures, which is to understand Krishna. That's a real Brahmin right there. And also he makes his living only from six different things. Yajan Yajan Patan Patan Dana Pratigraha. That means people give him a donation when he does sacrifice. Not that he charges money for a sacrifice. Not that he says, you know, I'll come and do your havan today, but that will be $150. Or per hour, it's $50 per hour for hypermedical activities. It's like a lawyer, you know. You have lawyers here, Sviji? And they charge by the hour, right? And they say, okay. And even when you call them on the phone, they start the clock, right? I'm not sure if they do. In America, they do that. They just like turn on their, okay, 5 minutes, $20. And in America, the lawyers are minimum $500 American in an hour. Pretty good. What do they cost here?
Well, it depends. If you are a rich man, you pay more.
Pay more. But let's say I'm a rich man. How much per hour?
$20,
$30,
or $50.
Oh, that's cheap.
Criminal case.
Damn cheap,
Baba.
$10,000. That's a lot of money. All right, so Kali Yuga Brahmas, they charge like that. Like they give you a whole list. Like if you want to have a Griha Pravesh, that's $500. You know what Griha Pravesh is? It means like housewarming, you know, when you're coming. Or if you want to die, you have to pay $1,000. Otherwise, we do not allow you to die. That's pretty good. I mean, you can't die without being Brahman. In other words, no funeral on the HD. And if you want your child to have a name, that's $500. So, in this way, the Brahmins are becoming very rich. And they have a monopoly. You know what a monopoly is? That means they have exclusive right. Because here in Fiji, you have to be a member of the Brahmin society. If you're not, then you can't do any Brahminical activities. That's finished. So in Kali Yuga, the Brahmanas are the richest. Just like, oh yeah, I was just reading in the news, this is very interesting, that the recent Pope in the Catholic Church, he's a very austere person. He's called Pope Francis. Anyone's heard about this before? And he really renounced, let's say, the Pope's house, and he lives in a very simple flat. Normally the Pope has this giant house with all the servants fanning him, doing RT to him every day. Like a guru. So, feeding him and everything. But he even drives his own car sometimes, goes in a bus. So what happened is that he's discovering all these bishops and the archbishops, you know, the people who represent the Pope. It's like the GBC members. The Pope is like the chairman of the GBC. And the GBC members are, you know, like the bishops or the archbishops, actually. And so he's discovering all of them have spent so much money on their houses. I'm just reading one report. And that one probably reads the news, too. There was one archbishop somewhere who just gotten a donation from someone and spent $2.2 million, American dollars, on a mansion for himself, and there was a big hot tub. You know what a hot tub is? No. It's a bathtub that's as big as a swimming pool. And it has like hot water coming in all the time. So you can just like sit in the bathtub. It's like the water is massaging you. You understand what I mean? It's like a spa. Yeah, okay, you call it a spa. So that he had this big hot tub, and you know, he sits in the water like that. And then now it's being exposed that many of these archbishops and bishops are engaged in a very opulent life, taking money from their people and using it for sense gratification. Of course, Prabhupada said that when someone gives a donation, that not a farthing should be misspent. And everything has to be accounted for either. It's, you know, it's public money. But nowadays in Kali Yuga, the brahmanas, you know, the priests, ministers, you know, sannyasis, whatever. Because like even in Fiji, I think it was several years ago, there was one person who, I'm not going to mention his name because I remember his name. He did some like healing things on the stage. You know, the Christian preacher. And he has people come and they get healed. You know, they throw their crutches away. You heard of it before?
Yeah.
It's called faith healing. So he was caught trying to leave the country with like millions of dollars.
It was his own people.
His own people.
Coming on earth And then
they made believe. Yeah, these people would make believe that they were disabled. You know, they'd come with their crutches. And he said, throw away your crutches! And they threw them away. Haribo! Maranda! So, anyway, he turned out to be a rascal. And he was banned from Fiji. So in this way, this is Kaliyuga Brahmins. So anyway, so going back to the story. So I went to this funeral. And it was a nice Brahmin doing the funeral. It was nice. But then his boss Brahmin came. This is also funny, because Brahmins are not supposed to have bosses. You understand? That's Brahmin is naturally independent. He's not supposed to work for a boss. So his boss, the head Brahmin of the society, came and he offered his obeisances. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Obama. Anyway, so he offered his obeisances. And this head Brahmin was just, you could smell he was just finished smoking. Because if someone smokes, you can actually smell it whenever they walk in the room. Just like if someone eats garlic. You know, people ask, why don't we eat garlic? Because it smells so bad.
Yeah.
That if you walk into the room with someone who's eating garlic, you want to throw up and you want to vomit. So, isn't it? But people who eat garlic, you don't notice the smell after a while. So anyway, so this Brahmin, obviously he had been smoking and he didn't look too clean or anything like that. So that's Kali Yuga. But really a Brahmana is supposed to have these qualities and make his living not by charging money for anything, not by working for a boss, and not by doing anything else other than these six things. Yajna, yajna, pata. In other words, doing sacrifices, getting donations for the sacrifices, giving charity, accepting charity, and teaching, and people giving him donations for teaching. You know, these are the political ways. Just, he relies on Krishna, in other words. He's not, like Sudama Brahman, for example. He didn't make any endeavor for his maintenance. Of course, he had become very poor because when he was a child, he took food that was meant for Krishna and ate it. You know the story? They were in the forest, and he had this food that had been given for all the boys, not just it. So they somehow they take shelter of the rain. They were up in a tree, and he ate all the food. And because he ate all the food that was given to Krishna, he became a poor Brahmin. But still, he didn't compromise his Brahminical principles. There's no description of him going out and buying gold, selling gold. He wasn't a sonny. So anyway, he had no description of that. He just depended on Krishna. And even when his wife wanted him to go to see Krishna to ask for something, he didn't think of asking for anything from Krishna. He just thought, I'd want to see Krishna. We'll use this as an excuse. Of course, later on, you know the story that Krishna rewarded him with practically unlimited wealth. When he came back to his home, you know, his wife was dressed nicely, there were servants, there was a big house, and all that. Even the whole village was benefited by this Brahminical, his activities. But in any case, that's a Brahmin. And so, why is it important for a Brahmin to not worry about money? Well, because that way he can preach purely. If you're getting the salary, if you're depending on money, then you change your preaching. You change what you say to please the people so they give you more money, right? Like if you're working, let's say if you're working for a boss, like Jagadish works for a boss, right? I mean, really, you can't always say what you want, right? You can't. I mean, just practically, you go in there and you say, boss, you're in Maya. you know, what is it? Like Prahlad Maharaj said to his father, you know, you should go to the forest. You're too attached. You're Grihamedi. So if you say that to your boss, what happens? No more work. Then you'll become a Brahmin then. So, therefore, you're really I mean, it's practical. When you work, you have to change what you say. You can't always just speak what you think or what would be good for the person, because you're worried more about yourself. You're making money, your poor wife and children, they'll starve to death. You know. So a Brahman, you know, someone who's functioning as a Brahman really has to be careful. Of course, in Kali Yuga, we understand that Brahmins sometimes have to work jobs. That's all right. That's all right. We're not criticizing. But at least their activities of preaching should never be contaminated by desire for money. In other words, they should never preach. If they keep part of their lives working and making money, that's fine, but they have to separate the two. So when they preach, it shouldn't be, you know, I'm preaching because I'm making money or whatever. It's simply to help the people. That's a Brahman. A Brahman is compassionate. Because he's on the Brahman platform, he sees yastu sarvani bhutani atmane evanu pashati. He sees everybody equally. And he sees everybody is just as important as me. And they're not their body. And therefore, they're all objects of compassion. So a Brahman, that's a real Brahman. So even in Kali Yuga, Brahman could work a job as long as he keeps the two things separate. The money making and the preaching should be kept completely separate, not mixed at all. So, anyway, so therefore the Brahman can always speak the truth. Satya Priya Hitam. So he's always speaking the truth pleasingly, beneficially for everybody. But the Kshatriya is something different. The Kshatriya sometimes has to be engaged in diplomacy. I mean, what do you think? I mean, a Kshatriya has to be diplomatic, because he has to, according to instructions for a Kshatriya, if he has enemies, he has to deal with them in a certain way, he has to speak sweetly, like if someone's my enemy, if I'm a Kshatriya, I have to say, oh, Asbihari, you're so nice, like this. He's not an enemy, of course, but anyway. But I have to say about someone, you're so nice, or I really like you. Like they say, there's actually a saying which is really interesting, which is true. Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. You ever hear that before? Think about it. Keep your friends close to you, but keep your enemies closer. So Prahlad Maharaj was instructed by Sundaramarta how to deal with enemies. You know, the sweet words. Keep make friendship, in other words. Or you can give them a little bribe. You can give them a high position. Or now you can become temple vice president. Or, that's diplomacy. What can I say? Or, you know, on the other hand, if that doesn't work, then you use divide and conquer. In other words, divide and conquer means you go to your enemy's enemy and you say bad things about your enemy. And then you go to your enemy and say bad things about his enemy. And this way they fight each other, and then you don't have to do anything. Uh-huh. This is actually, it's actually quite a common political technique that, for example, let's say the country of Cuba. You've all heard of Cuba before. Cuba or Venezuela, let's say Venezuela, that's more appropriate. Right now they're having trouble because people are revolting against the government. So what the government is doing is saying that America is our real enemy. So they find an enemy to unite the people. In other words, let's say Jai Jagadish is angry with me. But then, you know, then I say, well, let's try another person. Let's say Mahaprabhu really hates both of us. He's trying to interfere with our relationship. And then you say, yeah, let's kill Mahaprabhu. Then you forget that you're angry with me. Practical, isn't it? That's one way to do things. We should learn these techniques. No, not really, because we're not supposed to be politicians. And then after that, if that doesn't work, you know, bribe, then you threaten someone, you know, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to beat you, or I'm not going to pay your money, or some threat like that, or I'm going to go on the internet and tell everybody how bad you are. And then finally, argument about Bakulam, then you hit them or do something to punish them. So Kshatriya, that's part of diplomacy. You can't be a Kshatriya without being diplomatic. I mean, for example, in the Battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhisthira Maharaj wanted to be non-diplomatic. He wanted to tell the truth. And it came time to fight with Drona. And the only way he could defeat Drona is if he thought his son, Ashwatthama, was dead. So Krishna said to Yudhisthira, tell Drona that his son is dead. And he'll trust you because you never tell a lie. Yudhisthira said, no, I will not tell a lie, even if God tells me to do it. And Krishna said, I am God. And Yudhisthira said, that's all right. Forget it, God. And then Krishna, then he had to make the trick that an elephant named Ashwatthama was killed. And then it's described that Yudhisthira, his chariot touched the ground from that point forward because he didn't follow Krishna's direction. So there's another example is Grandfather Bhishma. Even Grandfather Bhishma, that he was so... Because why do they... You know, Kshatriyas have this pride, okay. So Grandfather Bhishma made a promise to always follow whoever was in charge of Hastinapur. So then there came the attempted disrobing of Draupadi. And Grandfather Bhishma just added the pride, I will never tell a lie. He even said at one point, even if the whole world is destroyed, I will never break my promise. That's pretty stupid, isn't it? Because basically, if you made a promise, and then by breaking it, you can save the whole world, better than break the promise. You know, there's... We talked about this in Supa, that actually morality is determined by the results of an action, not the action itself. That's why Tarko Prishta Shuntitana, it's very difficult to understand Dharma without Mahajanayana Katasa Pantav, understanding the actions of great personality. So Grandfather Bhishma, he refused to interfere when Draupadi was being attempted disrobing. And so, out of, you know, Kshatriya, you know, I'm going to tell the truth. So, anyway, getting back to the point is that, therefore, because a Kshatriya has to be diplomatic and everything like that, that he becomes entangled in the mode of passion. Even like a Kshatriya, you know, sometimes you read about the Kshatriyas hunting. I was very confused about this when I first joined when I heard about the Kshatriyas, you know, killing deer and everything. And it's allowed for the Kshatriyas, it's not encouraged, and they do have to suffer. Like in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, that's brought out in the Paranjana story, that when a Kshatriya, whatever animals a Kshatriya has killed in his life, even though it's allowed, there's still a reaction for it. I mean, sometimes you have things that are allowed because people are going to do it anyway. Like the government regulates liquor. People are going to drink, if the government didn't allow liquor, guess what? People would make their own liquor in their houses. Do they ever do that in Fiji?
Yeah,
they make their own liquor. And sometimes the liquor is so bad they don't make it properly. It's the wrong type of alcohol. They die, isn't it? Like if it's methyl alcohol, then they die. So the government says people are going to drink anyway. Like in America right now, there's this marijuana thing. People are going to smoke anyway. So regulate it and make money from it. So now all the states in America are thinking, wow, so much money to be made. Because we can take like 20, 30, 40% taxes on this and people will smoke it. And it, I mean, it's the same thing as liquor. People shouldn't be so shocked. I mean, they're making money from liquor. So anyway, so getting back to the point, so the Kshatriyas, because they have this mode of passion thing, their judgment is not usually that clear. Sometimes it's clear. I mean, but other times, they get really passionate. I mean, like Bhimsen. I mean, he was really passionate. He's called Rikudara because he could eat too much. His stomach was like a wolf belly. It's called Rikudara. And then when he would kill someone, he wouldn't just kill them. He would pound them, and so their body would become like a basketball. You couldn't tell what were the arms previously, what were the legs previously, what were the eyes previously. Like with that Kichika, right? He just like, boom, 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 boom. That's passion. So with passion, of course, then you have this discrimination. Of course, according to Krishna Bhagavad Gita, you see different living entities according to the bodies they have. You don't see the one underlying spiritual nature. And so you need the guidance of the brahmanas. That's why the brahmanas are there. So kshatriyas should never be the ultimate authority. And sometimes the brahmanas have to get rid of the king if the king is really too crazy, like in Vaina's case. You know, Vaina, he was just like really crazy, and the brahmanas got rid of him, not with guns or anything like that. They just did a mantra. Brahmanas don't need to carry guns.
Uh-huh.
Guns or pistols or you know, spears. They just go, die.
Uh-huh.
Ritual, you know, death. And then someone dies immediately. The Brahmanas were so powerful. Not Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, it's described, you curse someone, the curse comes back to you. Like if you take your Brahman thread, you know, I've seen devotees do that. You know, they take the Brahman thread, and then they go, and nothing happens. Or like in the movies, they take the water, you know, you see the water, and they go, ding, and the person turns into Rakshasa. It doesn't work anymore. That happened in Bhagavatam. There's a story like that. A Brahman was offended. I think it was King Kaliyasa of Apada or something like that. And Brahman just like threw the water and he became a Rakshasa. It doesn't work in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, you know, nothing works. Except for chanting Hare Krishna. Isn't that? That's the only thing that works. It's like everything else is broken down. Because people can't pronounce the mantras properly or anything like that. So, Brahmanas have to supervise the Kshatriyas. And when the Kshatriyas make some decision, they always consult the Brahmanas. You see this in the Vedic literature. Yudhishthira Maharaj would always ask the Brahmanas what we should do. And so then, of course, after the Kshatriyas, there's the Vaishyas. The Vaishyas make money. Of course, the Kshatriyas make money by taxes, generally. Or if they fight, sometimes they get things from the kingdoms that they defeated. But the Kshatriyas never attack ordinary citizens. They will only fight with other Kshatriyas. It's not like nowadays. You got this terrorism stuff where someone comes and blows themselves up or they kill innocent women and children. But in the Kshatriyas, they would have a battlefield, just like you have a soccer field here, right? Like you have a soccer field called Kurukshetra. That had a soccer field. Anyway, you, when you have a soccer game, you don't have the soccer game in the temple, do you?
No.
No, I haven't seen that. When you fight with each other, you don't fight in the temple room in front of the deities. You have a place where you fight. Do you? No, I hope not. So you have a place where you fight. And so when you play soccer, you have a place. So the Kshatriyas is the same thing. They have a battlefield. They say, you know, let's meet today in the battlefield. And then when the sun comes up, they start fighting. And when the sun comes down, they sit together and they get drunk together. And then they eat. Like even when Krishna and it was Arjuna and Bhima saying they were fighting with Jarasandha, isn't it? At night, they would sit together. Take prasadam. That's Kshatriya life. It's chivalrous. It's not just like fighting like some boxer, you know, boom, 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 breaking someone's head. It was actually very, very nice. Of course, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they broke those rules too, which is very bad. In any case, so Kshatriya makes his money that way. Vaishya makes his money by Krishna Gaurakshya Vanjan, Vaishya Kamasu Lavanjan. By trade, commerce, and cow protection. You know, and actually it's not money. Even for Brahmin, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, there's no question of money. It's gold, usually, or land. See, in the modern system, we have this paper money. And then you really have to trust the government, otherwise it's worth nothing. Isn't it? I mean, you can't take the paper money and turn it into the government and say, who's going to get gold for it? You can go to the jeweler and do that, but not to the government. So it's based on trust. And when people lose trust in the money, guess what? It becomes worthless. Before World War II, in Germany, the people lost trust in what's called the German Mark, which is the German currency. And then it took a whole basically, you know what wheelbarrow is? Wheelbarrow is like a, when you carry dirt in, you know, the two handles. And it, you have to fill your whole wheelbarrow with money just to buy one loaf of bread. Because the money, that's called hyperinflation, for those of you who know a little economics. And that happens in some countries. I mean, even one country, Iran recently, because there's a blockade, you know, they're stopping commerce, their currency became like worth halfway. Even in Fiji at one point, you devalued your currency, right? And so one day it was worth so much money, the next day, what is it, 30, 40% less or something? 20% less. So everyone lost 20% of their money one day, just by a declaration of the government. So that's paper money. So the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and the Brahmanas, they would trade commerce, I mean, valuable things, gold, land, cows, things like that. All right, so and as far as the Shudras, they would just be paid enough, not money, because if you give the Shudra money, what do? They go to the bar. So the Shudra's not supposed to be given money. The Shudra's supposed to be given clothes, food, housing, and they're treated like your children. I mean, like your children. For example, let's say you have a little child, you know, 2 years old, 3 years old. Do you give him $500? Say, here. I mean, when they get older, like our children, will give money. He'll probably just buy an iPod or something like that. Right? But let's say a three-year-old boy, you don't give him money. What is he going to do with his money? He may eat it. I see with children, if you give them a coin, sometimes they put it in their mouths, right? So you can't even give it. They don't know what to do with it. So Shudras are something like that. They're just provided for it like your children, nicely. Many countries it was like that. In Europe, there was this serf system, S-E-R-F system, in which the landlords would actually take care of the people. And people were, if they didn't exploit, the people were happy, because they were taken care of like that. Because you give the Shudra too much, the illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and, you know, all sorts of garbage goes on. Anyway, so that's the Varnashram system, and the Brahmanas are the heads, and so that's really what Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada was asked one time whether he wanted to be the head of the government or president or anything like that, and Prabhupada said, no, I just want to be the advisor of the president. Not the president. You understand? So that's how we should feel. Oh, because we do need kshatriyas. At one point, Prabhupada had the devotees start a political party. Did you know that? It wasn't named Fiji First. The political party's name was In God We Trust Party. Interesting, isn't it? In God We Trust. So the devotees started it. But then the devotees got contaminated because they had to be politicians. You know, as a politician, you have to go around kissing babies, shaking, isn't it? Shaking hands. I mean, that's politics. You have to do that. And agreeing with people you wouldn't agree with normally. So you have to really, you get a little contaminated. I mean, politician means contaminated. That's why the Kshatriya would have to leave home after they got older and their children took over. Because there's contamination from dealing with the motive passion. I mean, you see this. Anybody who deals with motive, I mean, the demigods sometimes, they deal with the motive passion. And they become confused and contaminated. I mean, you find one demigod running after another demigod's wife sometimes. you have Indra getting completely confused, running after sages' wives on the Earth planet. So when you have to deal with power, it corrupt, what did they say? Power corrupts absolute power. Corrupts absolutely. So it's a very dangerous thing. This Kshatriya. So that what happened, Prabhupada at one point said, forget about this political activity. Get rid of the political party. Even though it said, In God We Trust Party. And devotees were running for different offices. I mean, ultimately, yes, there will be Kshatriya devotees running for different offices, but we need Brahmins to actually be the advisor, so when the Kshatriya starts to go off, the Brahmin can correct him, can bring him back. So anyway, so this is what's being described here, the importance of the heart Sometimes the Brahmanas are described as the head of the universal form, but here they're described as the heart. But that's basically the same thing. The heart means where the consciousness is. It's like in the body, the consciousness is not in the head. The brain is there. That helps us think. But the head, the heart is the seat of consciousness. So the whole consciousness of society should flow out, just like from the heart, consciousness flows out to the rest of the body through the blood. So in the same way, the consciousness or vision of society should flow out from the Brahman. So any questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, disturbances, complaints, requests. That's me, how you must have a question.
The scriptures, they were used to eat meat, but the purpose of eating meat was so that the quality one of them is heroism, praise.
Yeah.
So they come in the front line to protect the whole city. Even they were killing the animals.
Yeah, they would eat meat, but still there'd be a reaction. Still there'd be a reaction. Yes, that's true. Like Prabhupada went to Russia one time and people were eating a lot of meat and drinking vodka. You know what vodka is? It's an alcoholic beverage. And he asked, why do you eat so much meat? And they said, so we can become as strong as tigers. And Prabhupada said, therefore you'll become a tiger in your next life. So, I mean, there are plenty of kshatriyas who never ate meat. I mean, Krishna didn't eat meat. And Yudhisthira didn't eat meat. Bhimsain, yes. Bhimsain probably ate anything except for human beings. And of course you have these great... Hanuman was vegetarian too. But Garuda, the bird carrier of the Lord, eats even human beings. But not Brahmins. That's why it's important to be a Brahmin, so Garuda won't eat you. He asked his father, Kashyapa, one time he had to go on a mission. He said, what can I eat? And his father said, you can eat anything except for a Brahmin. And so he went to this village of Nishadas, you know, lower class people, and he just started to eat everybody. He opened his mouth wide and breathed in. And all the people went into his mouth. And then he felt a burning sensation in his mouth. He said, what's the problem? I'm having indigestion, you know, need to go to the hospital. But then he understood he had swallowed a Brahmin by accident. And he said to the Brahmin, get out! And the Brahmin said, the reason the Brahmin was there is because he had married this Nishada lady. So he said, take your wife and go! So then they both got out of the mouth, and then he swallowed the rest of the people. And then there's another story. One time he had to get some more nutrition. So he asked his father, what should I eat? He said, there's this giant, like, elephant and tortoise that are fighting each other. You know that story? That's from the Mahabharata. And you should eat the giant. They were as big as the earth planet, each one. He said, you should eat them. So he went there. They were fighting. Somehow they were fighting each other because they had cursed each other to become an elephant and a turtle. You find these stories where two, like, brothers or people, like, fight each other and they curse each other. Let you become an elephant, you should become a turtle, and they become turtles and elephants and fight each other. So anyway, they were fighting each other, and Garuda picked them up. They were so big, he picked them up with his claws, and he flew around, and he couldn't find any place to land. Because every place, it was just, they were just too heavy. He landed on a tree, and then the branch broke off the tree, and there were all these sages hanging from the tree, too, and he didn't want to disturb the sages, so he was just flying around. Finally, he landed on the mountaintop and ate his prasad. So there's an instance where a devotee, a great devotee of the Lord, is eating everything, basically, isn't it? So in certain cases, yes. However, we as devotees don't need to eat meat to become strong. Although the doctors nowadays, they make this propaganda, isn't it? I mean, I was just talking to one devotee, he had dengue, he went to the hospital, they said, the doctor said, your platelets are very low. You should eat meat. You should eat meat to bring your platelets. Did they ever say that? This is Dr. Fiji. I don't know who it was, you know. But I don't know exactly. He said, "You vegetarians are in big trouble. Why don't you eat some nice flesh?" Blood. You get that like Dracula, or something. You know, you heard of Dracula? Yeah, so it's like it is. You know, so the doctors make propaganda. You can't live by being a vegetarian. I mean, you're going to die. I mean, look, I've been a vegetarian almost my whole life, since 18 or 19 or something like that, and I'm not dead yet. And the longest living people on the earth are vegetarians, which are the Seventh-day Adventists in California. That's a group of people that live the longest, healthiest, strongest lives in the world, and they're vegetarians. But these doctors, they just feel threatened. And then they always want to sell you medicine when you can just take a herb, isn't it? They say, "Oh, we have this nice medicine." Actually, the medicine is an imitation herb, but you don't make money from herbs. Just like I asked one of the pharmacists here, "Do you sell vitamin C?" And they say, "Not so much, because the doctors don't make money from it." We like to sell drugs that we can make a lot of money from. You understand? Because vitamin C you cannot patent. It's open. Anybody can make it. Yeah, but you can take an orange. The doctors cannot patent an orange. But because modern society is controlled by Vaishyas, they try to take a patent on everything. Some people came to India and they tried to patent turmeric. You know what turmeric is? You know, like the root, turmeric root. Haldi. So they tried to patent Haldi. Monsanto company came. And they thought, "We should take a patent on Haldi. You know, we'll alter the genes a little bit. We'll make a patent so nobody can grow Haldi without paying us." So it's a Vaishya-oriented society where the Vaishyas are actually controlling most governments in the world, rather than the Kshatriyas, and not certainly not the Brahmins. And that's modern society, for the most part. I mean, there are certain exceptions to that. We're not criticizing any particular government or anything like that. But in general, I know in America, it's the Vaishyas who control everything. And in order to win an election, it costs hundreds of millions of dollars. Just a little election, not even a big, not to be president of the United States, but just to become like governor of one state. You know, big, big problem. Okay, it's time to end, right? Because we have a whole program, we're going to Selva today, many preaching things, so. Okay, all glory is to His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Gaura Premananda, Hare Krishna. Lambasa Yatra ki jai. Say hello to Mayapur TV. We have like probably at least 20-30 people watching. So. Okay.